You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
I mean, your Bibles to the text we read this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It was this past summer when we were in a series on the Holy Spirit that I was praying about what the Lord would want us to focus on this fall. In our ministry time, in our teaching time. And it was as I was seeking the Lord on this, the Spirit spoke to me about this theme of live dead. We have the banner in the back that Grace had put together, and so we have that to remind us. It's also a missions theme in our missions movement, in Assemblies of God World Missions. It's about, for missions, it's about pushing into the hardest places in the world and reaching the last unreached people groups of our age. An unreached people group is defined as a group of people that don't have a viable witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There aren't very many believers, if there are believers at all, in that people group. Their language does not have a scripture. And there aren't any established churches among those groups. That is not a geopolitical nation. That is a group of people that are identified by ethnicity. So for instance, while we talk about the nation of Somalia, for instance, there are several language groups within Somalia that make up several different people groups within Somalia. And reaching one does not necessarily necessitate that all Somalis have been reached. The same in Ethiopia. We could do work and continue work in there and what the Lord's leading us on into, but there are 85 distinct language groups within the nation of Ethiopia. So us just having a presence and several established churches does not mean we've reached every group in Ethiopia. The Live Dead movement is targeting those hardest areas that are still unreached and calling out people who will really live in this sacrifice to truly live dead to themselves so that other people may live. And it's into those hard areas that we're talking about. But the challenge that the Spirit brought to my heart is this: how do we live dead in America? In a land of abundance, in a land where we can get so excited about the latest stuff, in a land where we can get so caught up in ourselves and our selfies, you know, and we don't know the hard way of following Christ while being oppressed on every side, how do we live dead? Dead to our old lives and alive to Christ. Live dead may be a theme for missions, but it should not only be applied just to missions. Our culture needs a new example. We don't need to have Christians who are good at mimicking this culture anymore. We need believers who are living in the power of their true kingdom home and demonstrating that full joy in the midst of a culture that thinks it has everything. So we've taken that journey, and we began in Romans 12, and I'd like to read together aloud these verses. So read with me. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The base which we started from, and then we have followed the New Testament readings that we do in our public reading of Scripture every week, and we have asked this question: what does it mean to live dead? And last week from Philippians 4, let me bring back just one point. To live dead is to live a transformed life, and a transformed life is expected. A transformed life is expected. in the life of the believer. And that's what Paul is getting at. We need to realize that following Christ is joy. And it's not about just admiring Christ. It is about following Christ, to pick up His ways and to implement them into our own lives. When we follow Christ, we have a new kingdom allegiance, and a new king that we will follow, and transformation is expected. And this passage today gives us an example of deep, abiding joy that is possible when we live in transformation, when we will choose to live dead. As we come to this passage and then we focus on what is ahead for us in the next few weeks with our missions emphasis, it has been for me amazing to see how the Spirit has orchestrated this study and this radical call in our lives. This theme, as I said, is a missions theme. And we will have our missions emphasis in these next couple of weeks, and we will hear the call of God again. And what we need to do is have this time of concentration with missionaries coming in, where we hear again for us, what is the Lord asking of us in our giving? What is the Lord asking us in our going? How do we respond to what the Lord wants us to do? And I want to talk more about that in a few minutes. But this theme of live dead, it turns out, was also the theme of the youth convention this year. And we had the youth convention this weekend, and for the first time since we've been sending kids to youth convention, I got to go. Pastor Brenna eased me in. She's very good at that. She'll get you eased in, and you're like, could you watch these two guys for me? And they're like the best two guys, Timmy Hansen and Nathaniel Shoemaker. I mean, talk about low-key, no maintenance, plug-and-play kind of a thing. Next year, I know I'm less likely, oh, this is great, you want to do it again? As she hands me a cup of coffee that she bought at Caribou. I'm like, you're going to give me Children of the Corn next year, aren't you? You know? But I just had a great, they actually let me sleep. It was great, you know. But the theme of the youth convention was live dead. And I have to say, if there was, you know, if every youth convention was this focused and this serious, I think we should all go to youth convention. You know, I mean, Pastor Brenna just knew how and when to hook me in. She had it down. The messages given were from two missionaries living in the hard places of the world. And they were calling out anyone who would be willing to listen, to be a part of the great mission outreach to reach the unreached in our generation. And the thing that I so appreciated about both of those missionaries as they spoke over the 2 days was they did not hold back. Because the truth of the matter is not all the news is good. As a matter of fact, one boldly said at the beginning of one of his messages, he said, it will be worse in the world next year than it is this year. And should the Lord tarry, it will be worse in the world the year after that than it is the year previous. Because we are in a war. And we are in a battle. And while we see an increase in so many areas in the church, there are other areas where the enemy battles and batters and bruises and kills those who are in the body of Christ. And they didn't hold back. There were stories of great triumph, but there were stories that didn't end so well for some believers. And it was a sobering message for kids who may have been used to hearing all of their lives that following Jesus is just one big party. Dick Brogdon is probably one of the most radical missionaries I'll ever meet, and he spoke on Friday night, and by the time he reached his conclusion, his altar call was about a commitment to follow Christ in a radical way. He didn't want any music. He didn't want any noise. He didn't want kids to come to the altar simply because it was an emotional thing to do, and in silence, over 3,000 kids bowed before God. And he had them waiting on God in silence. And his call was radical. It was to understand that the way of living dead was also a way of joy, but it was a way of joy that is often marked with suffering. And he left nothing hidden. To follow Christ was far beyond the dancing around the altar. It was a time to lay on the altar and weep for the lost. Following Christ was far beyond holding a starving baby for a quick Facebook picture. Following Christ was also living in dangerous places of the world and not caring if you came back out. We need an abandoned life to Christ, but we don't need it in just some far-off place. We need it here. This isn't a call for all of us to leave this place and only go to the hard places. It is a call to leave the allegiance of this world and find a deep, abiding joy of living in Christ. And when we will live dead, we know the deep, abiding joy of His presence, and we can know it right here. And one of the things about this passage this morning is how Paul brings back some of the great characteristics of the kingdom, and it might be a little easy to miss. At the end of 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "Now these three abide, these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." Now look in verse 3 of chapter 1 here in 1 Thessalonians. He says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ." So he brings them back around something that he's already talked about. These three things remain, and they remain in to the Corinthians, he said, "These remain in you, and the greatest of this is love." But then to the Thessalonians, he says the same thing, but he combines them with very tough words: work and labor and endurance. They had learned how to come to faith and to live in faith in an incredibly trying time in their city, when coming to Jesus was not the most favorable thing that they could do. We'd just rather feel good about faith, hope, and love and put it on a bookmark or something and stick it in our Bible. But those three characteristics are defined by hard work and hard words. And when we walk through the effort, we will find deep joy. Following Christ has its costs. So we need to be reminded again, when we follow Christ, transformation is possible and transformation is expected. It's not a clean process. It's a messy process. It is not a progressive straight line up. It is very uneven. But we walk with the determination that we will take on the mind of Christ and we will live transformed in the Spirit. So I want to walk through a few key verses in this passage and bring them to bear on our own church and our own call. And I want us to hear again this call to live dead in our culture, because that means something for here and for now. It may also mean something for different people when it comes to the call of God to serve in other places in the world. But this is what I want us to remember. Friends, it is time. It is time. It is time for us to live in transformation. We need this call to live dead, so let's get it as real as we possibly can. So our first call as a church is seen in verse 5, so let's look there. "Because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake." The call is simple. The call is simple. How do we live the Heights? The call is very simple. Bring the gospel to our city. Bring the gospel to our city in word and in power and in deep conviction. We don't need any more demonstration in our lives of trying to figure out if Jesus is real. We may struggle through doubts, but there is a place where we will come that will be a place of deep conviction that Jesus is indeed real and He is so worth following. And we want to live that out in power in our context. We are, as the body of Christ, we need to realize this, but we are beyond the weakness of saying, well, you know, all roads lead to God, I guess, I hope. Let's get beyond that, friends. We are to the point, and we need to stay at this point of knowing Jesus. We want to get beyond the good feeling of a great song. We need to be at the point that if there is no music in the room, we will still hear the voice of our Savior, and we will cherish that voice. We need a deep conviction that Jesus is worth following, and that will conflict with the deep belief systems of our own culture. One of the clear warnings that Dick Brogdon brought to the youth convention was the same warning I've sensed in my own spirit and have voiced along the way. The persecution that is happening in so many other places in the world will come to our own shores. And in that time, it will not be a great t-shirt with a catchy message that will save us. We need a deep conviction that Jesus is worth following, where we know His words, and we know His power, and we choose to follow Jesus. It is a time to live in that deep conviction, and it is time to demonstrate the power of the life in the kingdom, that we know what it is to pray for healing and see healing happen, to pray for miracles and see miracles happen, to pray for the deep conviction of the Spirit to sweep our city and watch that happen, to walk in power and provision that our King will provide, knowing that when we speak words of life, we will speak words of blessing into our city. I want to work like crazy in my city, doing all I can to bless my city, because I want people in my city knowing Jesus. I want them to know the truth of the kingdom. I want them exposed to the lies of the enemy so they can realize the beauty of Jesus. When I walk in deep conviction and in truth and in power, there will be that realization, and it may cost. But what I have become convinced of is I so desperately want that truth in the lives of people around me, I have to be willing to ignore the possible opposition and keep pressing toward the souls that Jesus longs to bring into the kingdom. There is such a deep need to keep pressing into this city to serve. There is a need to bring spiritual maturity to a city and to a generation that has not been parented well in this culture. We need to be spiritual parents to a new generation, and God is calling us to live dead to ourselves. Paul says, we did this for you. We served you, not ourselves, you. And God is calling us to live dead to ourselves, to quit the obsession of our own lives, and to live with a passion for the kingdom and for others. If we will live dead this way, if we will live truth in the truth of the Word, the power of the Spirit, and the deep conviction of the kingdom, this is what is possible. We have these areas of responsibility within our city. But listen to this and pay attention to this. We can reach our city, and by that, because of who dwells in our city, we have an amazing opportunity to reach all over the world. But look beyond that. Look to where the Lord has led us in prayer these past 2 years, to a place like Ethiopia, that where we realize we love all the missionaries that we will support and we will continue to support, but there is this call from the Spirit to look in with a laser focus onto one place. And that place is developing, and it looks to be Ethiopia. So think of this. Think of this. When we live in the Word and in power and with deep conviction, we can impact our city. And then we can impact Ethiopia. But don't stop there. Think of where that will ultimately lead and can ultimately lead if we will decide to live dead. The Assemblies of God World Missions Director for the continent of Africa said Ethiopia is the back door to the Middle East. So if we will pay attention to what God is saying to us and live dead to the pressures of our culture and move away from serving ourselves, we can impact a nation that will impact the hardest places in the world. From here, from right here, we can one day see the very center of Islam crumble under the power of the Spirit. And I have to say in this moment, are we paying attention? Some of you may be saying, I absolutely am paying attention. And Pastor Dan, what you are saying is you have painted a red target on our back and someone from ISIS is going to show up. Well, if you got that, good. At least you got something. I want us to live dead right here in Columbia Heights. Because if we as the church, as this church, as Heights Church, will choose to live dead, friends, it just might impact 1 billion Muslims. Right here from this place, deep conviction, can we see it? This is how we are to live in Columbia Heights. The second thing that Paul talks about that I want to draw from here is in verse 6, being imitators. He said, verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Here is my prayer, not just for my life, but for all of us. It is time that we become people worth imitating. It is time that we become people worth imitating. That we become so caught up in abiding in Christ, that we become, the prayer I have, the prayer the Lord keeps having me pray, is I want to be a man of God worth imitating. Not everyone will follow, I understand that, but I don't want to be imitated for anything other than my deep love for Christ. So I must cultivate that deep love in my own life. My deepest cry for all of us in my heart is that we will understand the beauty of the kingdom. Every one of us. Every one of us in Heights Church. That all of us will have such a deep love for Christ. We will get to that place where we just want to abide in His presence. And when we abide in His presence, we will wonderfully take on His character. And when we take on His character, there will be others who will see that and long for it and will want to imitate. I don't want to be imitated for the house I live in, the car I drive, the technology I have with me that makes me look hip or not hip. I don't want to be imitated for the clothes I wear, none of it. I want to be imitated in my deep passion for Christ and the love that I have for this city. I want to be worth imitating, and I want you to be worth imitating. It won't be the great books that we write, the great organization we can talk about, our great music, our great website, our great anything that will draw people to Christ. It will be our great love for our King that will draw people to Christ. So I just ask us to get serious about loving our Savior and cultivating our lives in prayer and in worship, and knowing Him through the Word so His power radiates through us, and that will be worth it. We need a prayer in our lives where we long to be worth, to say, Lord, I want to be worth imitating, and then we need to build within our lives the character that says, yes, that is worth. Third thing that Paul talks about is being a model here in verse 7. He said, you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. In And this is the challenge from the Spirit, to be a model, to let your life be a model for following Christ. Understanding it's not perfect and it won't be perfect, just be willing to be Exhibit A. That's it. And then let's determine to be a model church, not in numbers, not in finances, but a model of loving Jesus and simply not caring about the allegiances of this world. To model loving Jesus so thoroughly that His love radiates into out of our lives into loving others. May we be called to be a model of Christian community. May we be called to be a model of apostleship to our city and to Ethiopia and to regions beyond. May we be a model of apprenticeship where we get serious about being followers of Christ. May we be a model of radical love, engaging our community out of radical love for our King. And when we will be that model, we will radiate that love to our city and to our world. Out of being a model, there are things that Paul talks about to turn from and turn to. Look in verse 9. He says, "For they themselves report about what kind of reception you gave us. Then they tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Could we please get rid of the junk of this world? Could we please get rid of the idols of self-worship? Could we get rid of the idols of material possessions? Could we turn to a radical dependence on our King? And then could we show that to the world? It is a call that is radical, and it is a call that will bring us deep joy. I just had such a great weekend. And Pastor Brent is so kind to me. But after the last service, in the very late night, man, do people like to stay up. We were sitting in the room, and I was talking with Nathaniel and Timmy about the service. We had this really wonderful conversation. And Timmy's, you know, he's soaking this in because, you know, it's new to him. And then Nathaniel just bringing in some of these comments were just so good and just, you know, helping Tim see, you know, just things from a different angle. And Tim is so incredibly analytical. He works hard to figure out why he likes something or why he doesn't like something. So he was wrestling with Dick Brogdon's style, because the two missionaries we had, Joe Gordon and Dick Brogdon, Joe Gordon is this kind of guy who comes out and just, I mean, his volume level is higher than the worship team, which is really saying something. And his energy is just off the charts, crazy good. Dick Brogdon comes out and is very quiet. He waits for people to get quiet. And then he just levels you with his words. And he's very, very serious about it. So Tim was wrestling with those differences in styles. And Dick Brogdon had a hard message, but as Joe Gordon did. But Dick was pretty devoid of emotion. So while it may have seemed boring in delivery, especially compared to the other speaker, it was still impactful. And as Tim was analyzing that, he realized the style may not have been enjoyable, but the message was still meaningful. Those two guys were talking back and forth, and Tim was talking about, well, you know, it wasn't real exciting or anything. And Nathaniel says, yeah, but I bet you won't forget what he said. And Tim's like, yeah, you're right. Dick Brogdon delivered the message the way he did because he wanted people to know we can't just run on emotion built by the tone of a voice or the pulse of music. Dick did it because he was deeply emotional. And he serves with this deep joy that has come out of following Christ. And it's far beyond any emotional appeal, yet it is full of deep emotion. May we be delivered from emotionalism, and may we find the deep joy of following Christ. May we understand that in Christ there is this deep joy that doesn't need to be sustained by emotional music or emotional preaching. It is sustained by our deep abiding presence with Jesus. We are attached to the vine. There is a place of deep joy, and it is found in living dead. Living dead to ourselves so that Christ may live in us. And for the sake of our city and for the sake of the world, the call to us is so clear from the Spirit. Live dead. And that leads us to the next few weeks, and this is what I want you to truly pay attention to. Besides the red target I painted on your back, and ISIS will come looking for you. Over these next two Sundays and then the Wednesday in between, we have an opportunity to have a deep impact on our lives as a church. We're going to focus on missions and our missions giving, and we give in our regular giving what we call faith promises, and that's what do you believe God will bring through you for the cause of missions, above your tithe, above your... That just something the Lord will say, hey, I want you to believe that I can bring this through your life so you can give it to missions. Because what that... For us, for as a church, you know, giving on a regular basis through the year is how we regularly support our missionaries all over the world. Now, here's the thing, and I want you to understand this. This is what we're looking for. We are looking for 100% participation. I'm not looking for a number per month, dollar per month. I'm looking for a percentage, 100%. That we will all be all in. That this church will be all in for missions for 2015. That if it is an absolute stretch, you've never given to missions before, and you think $10 a month is an incredible sacrifice, that you ask God to provide that extra $10 a month and just see what happens. Just ask. It is not necessarily out of what you have right now. It is about asking God what is possible to move through you for the sake of missions. And it's just an exercise we're going to take over these next 2-3 weeks. Where we're going to hear from these missionaries, and we're going to see what God is doing, and then we're going to pray. And we're going to say, Lord, what do you want to move through us? And our objective here is just that we all put something into this idea of faith promise, so that when we put money on the line, we tend to pay more attention to what we put the money on the line for. You don't put anything in, you don't care. You put money in, you care. And you trust. So over these next few services, we're going to hear from people living dead for the cause of Christ. Next Sunday morning, we'll have Jeremy and Emily Olin. I hope they're both here because they have a new baby. They've been in the process of adoption for months and months and months and months. And when I saw them in April, everything had been cleared and they were just waiting. And just a few weeks ago, they got a baby. And she's absolutely adorable because Facebook exploded with pictures. And she is adorable. And I'm hoping they're both the whole family is here. But Jeremy and Emily serve in a closed Arab country for the sake of the gospel. And they serve with such deep joy. We support them on a regular basis, and they've been with us a couple of times, and they are amazing people. On Wednesday, October 29th, Danny and Cindy McCullough will be with us, and they are going to Sierra Leone. Does that country's name ring any bells? Is there a reason? Ebola. They got called to Sierra Leone before the Ebola outbreak. I think you might want to come and hear what God is telling them as they continue to raise support and are looking to still go to that part of the world. And then on the next Sunday, I think it's November 2nd, we're going to have Jim Tillis with us. Jim's been with us before. Jim is living with this just immense joy on the campus of the UMM, reaching international students and really focusing in on Japanese students. And as we have, and again, his story is just a tremendous story as well. And as we hear from these friends, I pray that we will have ears to hear about what the Lord wants to do through us in the next year for missions, to hear what is possible for our city and for our world, and to ask how we can serve, to give, and to go. Let us serve for the pleasure of our King. Let us hear this call to live dead and not just be, you know, the serious, sober thing in our lives, but to live with this deep joy because he's called us to this. There is so much possible in this church if we will live with this hope. God is calling us to this, and I want us to hear this this morning. That we can live in a way that brings this deep, abiding in our lives. To long to have in our lives the sense of, I so want to abide in Christ, that I want to imitate other great people who are following Christ, but I want to live in a way that I'm worth it. Bumps and bruises and the whole journey, and you get things right and you blow things and all of that, but you just don't mind having someone along with you on the journey because you so want the beauty of Christ. And you want the beauty of Christ shining into their lives as well. It's not a call to perfection. It is a call to say, let's be a model for other believers, for our city, for a generation in spiritual parenting. For the sake of our city, for the sake of a nation like Ethiopia, for the sake of 1 billion Muslims, the impact that we will have if we will just choose to live. As we come to this table, we'll, as always, want to prepare our hearts. And this morning, as we prepare our hearts, I would like for us to pray together. And as we pray, I'd like for us to pray coming and reflecting. And so let us pray the Lord's Prayer together, just using the phrase, forgive us our debts. Would you stand with me? And let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom. Come, thy kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, may we live as the people of God, making your name holy. Hallowed be your name. May we live as the people of God, longing for the image of Christ to be formed in us. Your kingdom come, your will be done. May we do it for our place of ministry in Columbia Heights on earth as you have intended it in heaven. Lord, there is a great work for us, for every one of us. And it starts with abiding in you. So Lord, today as we worship around this table, may we hallow your. May we abide in your sweet presence. Because, Lord, you have promised you will be at this table. You have promised that your presence will be here. And your presence is here to heal and to deliver and to strengthen us and to give us deep joy and to give us boldness and faith and hope. It is at this table. So, Lord, let us come to worship. Let us come to bow down. Lord, if we have a need, may we come and seek out an intercessor, and may the prayer of faith be applied, and may those of us who are maybe feeling sick this morning, may we know the wholeness of Christ, the healing power. Lord, if we've come and we seek out an intercessor and we have a financial need, may that financial need be met. Lord, the different things that we come as needs, we bring them here to you, to this altar, because you are the one who is our great provider. And so we submit to the way of the cross. It is the way of suffering. It is the way of death. But it is also, because we will walk through that, it is the way of resurrection. It is the way of life. And in that we will find that deep joy. Let us worship as we come to this table. In Jesus' name. We remember on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take and drink. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is given for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. As you come to this table this morning, come and worship. I invite you, if you want to spend some time, just here to you. And you, just laying some things out before the Lord, and you want to take these emblems as you're served and find a place around these altars, please do so. We're going to have intercessors that are here. If you have a need after you've been served and partake, if you'd seek them out and have them pray with you, they want to anoint you with oil and pray with you. If you want to go back to your seat, I just invite you to enter into worship. Pastor Grace will be leading us in a song, and just let that song just reverberate in your soul, your spirit. Let's not just push through and rush through. Let's find this place as a holy place and come before the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Johnny and ask Sid and ask Nick if you would assist me this morning, if you guys would come and help me this morning. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come to this table as we worship you. Transform us. Transform us. Lord, I know that in so many ways we are not like you, but today we can be more like you. And tomorrow we can be more like you. And it will happen. We will choose to come and abide. So Lord, let this be a first step of worship for us, that we will abide at the table and we will hear your call. Holy Spirit, come. Strengthen us. Enable us. Call us out to love God and love this world like never before. Transformation is possible. Let us begin here. In Jesus' great name. As you are ready, come and be served. These are the gifts of God to the people.
And I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back, no turning back. And I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross be before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back, and I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Would you stand with me this morning? Karen, I'm going to ask if you would come. And just, we want to pray over you. We get to be her first mission service, but she's got a long road between here in January and then January all the way through of lining up services and getting moved and all of those things. So we just want to come to Pastor Johnny, if you'd come over and let's lay hands on her. Anyone else that would like to come, let's gather around Karen right now. Praise the Lord. Standing in your pew, if you just reach your hand toward Karen right now. Lord, we're so excited. Lord, I'm so excited about the call of God in Karen's life. Lord, from day one, it was so evident. And Lord, it's so amazing to watch that call grow and progress. And Lord, we are so grateful for this place right now where the Assemblies of God World Missions has seen the call of God on her life and have approved her. But Lord, there's a long road now of calling churches and raising support and seeing it come in. And so, Lord, we ask for a fresh anointing on Karen's life. Lord, we ask for fresh oil. What got her to this point is powerful, but what will get her to the mission field needs a new anointing. We need a fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring. So, Lord, we pray not only for her to be anointed in her calling, but Lord, give anointed ears to pastors and to friends and to other people who can lend her support and desire, and they hear the call of God in her life. Give us ears to hear. So Lord, we pray for anointed ears. We pray for anointed wallets and bank accounts in the name of Jesus. Lord, that every dollar she needs will be quickly raised and she will know your amazing, radical provision. So Lord, we're grateful, and Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, we're so thankful for how she has poured into our church and the lives of our kids and our own lives, that she's touched us with her gentleness and her great spirit. So Lord, we just bless her right now and just ask as she gets ready to go out, that she would go out in the power, the true power of the Holy Spirit. And we will support her in prayer and giving. And Lord, when she comes here in January for that first service, maybe it's just a great day of celebration. And we hear of great things that are to come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask these things. And all God's people say, amen.